of our two- and four-legged listeners. It's Nathan here from Right Paw, and welcome back to What the Bark. We've got a very special breed-centric episode today, one of our breed showcases. We're really excited. It's on one of everybody's favorite breeds, and we'll introduce our very special guest breeder in a moment to talk all about this golden breed. We'll leave you hanging on that one. That was a terrible pun.
Yeah, it was. It's okay. But you've given it away. Yes, no. Welcome everyone.
I think anyone who's read the title knows what they're coming in for, and they should be very excited. But yes, George, welcome back.
Because we also, this next guest is a author, also an artist, a dedicated breeder, an ANKC member, and also a local, a Victorian, Nathan. We don't get many Victorians on. You tend to be a really New South Wales and Queensland centric. So this is exciting. Yeah.
Got to share the love around the states. And you know, you're absolutely right. Very illustrious guest. And look, we won't leave you hanging. We'll introduce her. So Jane from Kamuka Golden Retrievers, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Nathan and George. It's nice to be here.
Welcome, Jane. Kamuka. Kamuka. So you know what we do, Jane?
We always have to start there.
Yeah.
Where did the name come from?
Yes.
I'm not talking about Jane.
No. The name actually came from my husband and I actually met in Africa on an overland trip called Kamuka. And we named our property Kamuka, but when I went to register the kennel name, I couldn't have it with a K, so we got it with a C. So that's actually how it came about. And me being a Kiwi as well, it kind of has a Kiwi ring to it as well. Kamuka, a bit like Manuka. So that was how it came about.
There's always a story. We love it. There's always a story behind a prefix, and it's always, you know, we always like to start there.
Yep.
So I like to always start with a bit of controversy, Jane. Golden Retrievers, and my son Dion would like to know, do they ever come in black?
No, they don't.
So a quick answer to that one.
Okay.
They can get black spots occasionally, but the flat coated retriever, which is a relative, is the black version. But they are quite different. Different head, different temperament. Very beautiful dogs. No, the golden retriever doesn't come in black. The only black ones you see are crossbreds. I thought so. Usually with a lab. But yeah.
Just a question, mate. Son keeps on liking the race. Mm-hmm. I knew the answer was going to be no. They're all little. I will say they are for Orivet, our lab. They can be a frustrating breed. You know why? The amount of samples that fail. I think the
Golden Retriever
sits at the highest end because the amount of saliva and wet swabs that we see, people just don't realise how wet the swabs are. They are literally our worst breed when it comes to moisture, people just nodding them dry. Am I right? They do have a lot of saliva.
Some do. I don't actually find them a slobbery breed. I've had other breeds, and like a Gordon Setter, they're really drool dogs. But you do see some Goldens that, especially around food.
Food.
They're not.
I even slobber around food, Jane.
They're not really a. I wouldn't say that they're one of the drooliest dogs at all.
But you know, forget about me and Orivet. Kamuka, and you know, we introduced her as an author and an artist, and we'll get down to that. But you know, a bit of background about.
Kamuka. My first golden, I'm originally from New Zealand. So my first golden retriever I owned when I was about 18. I used to have horses, and then my parents got a golden retriever, and I'd already sort of fallen in love with the breed before that, but you didn't actually see too many of them around. So I got my first golden, and I started to do some showing and things with her. And then I went to university and went traveling, and she stayed with my parents. And I met my husband, and we settled in Melbourne. And I always knew that, you know, that was the breed I wanted. And so I converted him, and in 1990, we got our 1990-91, we got our first golden retriever from, at the time, a very well-known kennel called Strathraya. And and that was a boy called Stroika. He was sort of our foundation dog. And then we added a couple of girls and we sort of moved on from there. And over the years, I've changed direction with the lines I use, and I've bought in dogs from some, you know, very well-known kennels in Australia, like Kapala and Fantango. And they're sort of the foundation now of the dogs that I've got. And I've also used frozen semen to bring in new lines as well. So, I place a big emphasis on, because I show my dogs, you know, on structure and temperament, and obviously soundness. So those are sort of the things I look for.
Yeah. I'm interested to know, you know, obviously you starting out as a breeder, and, you know, Goldens obviously were the, you know, that first breed that you had as well. When you were 18 and you got your first Golden, you know, what drew you to Golden Retrievers? And I imagine it's probably the same thing that draws a lot of people to Golden Retrievers even till today.
I love the look of them. I love their temperament. You know, they're such happy dogs. They love you. They're great with everybody. And generally, you know, they love everybody. You know, I wasn't worried about hair and things like that. So, and they're a really fun breed. They're very versatile.
You never see a sad Golden Retriever.
I mean, we do see some that are a bit timid and things, which is actually incorrect for the breed. Unfortunately, with the popularity, we're starting to see a few traits that aren't what we call breed hallmarks. So the Golden should always be, you know, happy, biddable, and wanting to please you. That's really the essence of the breed. They want to please, you know, whether it's bringing you socks or, you know, your newspaper or dead bird, you know, they always want to bring you things.
Yeah, I remember when I was at a health clinic that the Golden Retrievers used to run back in the days with Robin Stanley out at the Royal Show. Mm-hmm. I remember the tails wagging constantly, even when they were put in their cage. They just, as long as they're wagging tail, most dogs, you know, wouldn't even wag a tail when you put them away in their cage waiting. No, they were still wagging. They are always happy and love company, don't they, really, as a breed?
They do. They're very much a family breed, and that's why they're so popular, because they fit into a family really well.
I've read, Jane, that they can hold a lot of tennis balls in their mouth.
Some of them can, yes.
The record is 5.
I mean, you made a good point, which was, you know, that, you know, there's hallmarks of the breed, and, you know, there's obviously those characteristics and traits that a Golden Retriever should have. So, you know, it's a good question. You know, what is the, you know, the breed standard for the Golden Retriever? What are the characteristics? What's the temperament? You know, what's the look?
Probably the most important hallmark of the breed is the temperament. So they're happy. There should be no sort of sign of a dog that's timid is not typical of a Golden Retriever. So they should be confident, outgoing, happy, and willing to please, you know, just sort of, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Which is why they make, you know, good service dogs and things like that. But as far as structure, they're a solid, you know, a solid dog. They shouldn't be sort of rangy. They should have a level top line, a really nice gentle eye, so a dark brown eye, and a what we call a chiseled head, so not a sort of snipey head. They should have a really nice melting sort of expression, and as I said, the eye is so important. They shouldn't ever have a light eye. They should have a really nice dark brown eye that's just sort of draws you in. We're seeing a few these days that are too big. The maximum height for a male is 24 inches, and yet we see some around these days that are way over that. And this is where I suppose A and KC breeders, the difference between us and just, you know, pet breeders, is that we do try to breed to a standard, to the breed standard. Mm-hmm. And those, if we show dogs, we have to try, and the goal is that they are bred to, you know, we're producing dogs to that breed standard.
They have like a working type, you know, like I see in the Labrador, sometimes you get a retrieving type, which is sort of a lot leaner.
They call them field Goldens, but they're still the same breed. So they're not different. For them to be more athletic. So they're a bit finer, but their temperament is often a bit more full on as well. So there's a few breeders in Australia that have imported dogs for that purpose. They tend to be a darker colour. Finer bone, smaller dog, not as much coat, finer head, but also very, very energetic. So very intelligent, are popular with people that do sports or that do actually do retrieving trials because they're very fast. We do sort of caution people, you know, if you're a young person that wants a dog for running with or you're planning to do competition, they're brilliant.
And in terms of, I mean, you also mentioned the, you know, you talked about the structure, you talked about the temperament. George sort of talked a little bit about the colours as well, because obviously you can have golden retrievers that aren't quite golden.
Our breed standard is any shade of cream to basically a sort of a dark gold. At the moment, we've got a lot of what we call pale creams. Some people call them white, which is actually not in the breed standard. And if you actually put a golden retriever, a cream golden, next to a Samoyed, you'll see the difference. Mm-hmm. There's not any white golden retrievers. They're actually a pale cream. And then the dark colour is not an Irish Setter colour. That's incorrect in Australia. So we follow the English breed standard. In the America, they allow a slightly different colour range. So they have allow slightly darker dogs. So we do have some American lines here now. So you do see some darker American dogs here.
I've heard the Labradors refer to them as like a fox red.
Yeah, which I guess as a preservation breeder, we hate that term. there are some commercial breeders that use that actually to try and, you know, sell puppies.
Wow. So, they're talking about terms and everything. Let's cut to the, you do have a book that you have out, which I see is a little puppy book. Is that right? Tell us, if we're talking about books, you know, that the longest title for a book has the word golden retriever in it. I hope your book isn't one of those.
Apparently, it is.
I'm reading mine has 11,000 characters.
my book is, you can see it there. So,
there we go.
It's backwards on there.
Okay. Yep.
So it's an Australian Guide to Buying and Raising a Happy, Healthy Golden Retriever Puppy. And how that came about was I actually started it probably about 4 or 5 years ago for my own puppy people. And then I realized with this group that I run, the Facebook group, that we were getting asked the same questions over and over and over again. And I realized there really wasn't anything out there that covered all those sort of questions. So I spent some time going through our group and just basically putting together a book that covered what I felt was what people needed to know about raising a puppy. So it does touch on selecting a breeder, the breed history, selecting a breeder, selecting a puppy, you know, your diet, but also I've put a lot in there about socialization and things like that, which is really important, which is now a really big thing when you raise a puppy. And there's also a section on health problems, the health testing that we do at being an ANKC breeder, and then health issues from hot spots, which are probably the most common thing. And then fun things to do with your golden. And there's a big section on grooming, which is an area that a lot of people ask about. At the moment, it's sold through, I sell it from my website. There's a lot of breeders out there that actually buy it and provide it to their puppy owners, which is fantastic. So they put it in their puppy pack.
Yeah, great resource for you know, Goldie parents to be.
So that's good. So is this is this book only for golden retriever owners? Do you think if I was a Labrador retriever, would I find it useful? Is it
Labrador? I have sold some to lab people, but I've specifically targeted the golden retriever because we do have some certain health conditions that, you know, are different from lab things. But obviously the raising of the puppy and that part of it, anyone could use that. So, and I have been approached about doing a general one, but there are a lot of good books out there as well.
Yeah, it's great. This is, you know, the first one that's, you know, specific to the breed, and it is every breed has their own nuances and their own differences. And I think it's great that this is a resource that focuses on that breed as well.
Is it an actual physical copy or is it an online ebook?
No, it's not an ebook. It's a hard copy. I've had a lot of people asking about an ebook, but the book is designed to actually sort of sit on your coffee table and refer to it. I find as an ebook, people read it and then they forget about it.
I mean, I don't know if this is covered in the book or not, but I mean, one thing that we always love to know on our breed specific episodes is, you know, what are the origins of the Golden Retriever? You know, where did the Golden Retriever come from? Obviously, it's got, you said it's got relatives with other retrievers, you know, in its probably in its wider family. But yeah, what are the origins of the Golden Retriever?
So the Golden Retriever originated in Scotland. The foundation dog was in 1864. So it's actually quite a young breed.
Yeah, that seems quite young.
And there was a rumor that it came from a Russian sort of show dog type thing, but it actually, we know now through the history that it was developed by Lord Tweedmouth from a yellow-haired wavy retriever, and then crossed with a tweed water spaniel that's actually extinct now. So he basically combined these two breeds and selected for what he wanted, which he wanted a dog that had a water resistant coat and was, you know, very good at retrieving. And that's how he started. The breed was registered with the Kennel Club in the early 1900s was when it was actually registered. The thing with the breed is that every Golden Retriever in the world today originated in Scotland. That's where they came from. And then obviously they've just, you know, the types have diversed a little bit. So you've got a, you know, they look a bit different in America and the UK. I mean, Australia, we follow the UK breed standard. So our dogs are much more sort of English looking.
So obviously, yeah, you've got the Golden Retrievers, a spiritual home in Scotland as well. But it is a retriever type. And, you know, how different or similar are they, I guess, yeah, to the Labrador Retriever, the Curly Coated Retriever, the Flat Coated Retriever?
Well, they're all water dogs. They're all bred to retrieve. But the Golden is, they're designed to sort of work all day, sort of, they're what I call a plodder. So they're not really a fast breed. So they were just designed to work with their owners, be with their owners, work in a group. So that's why they have to be very sociable. So they have to mix with other breeds and, you know, get on with other dogs. And basically they would go and retrieve the game. So they're not a flushing breed like a spaniel. And they're not like a pointer, obviously, which points where the game is. So the retriever's job was basically just to bring the game back. And they've got a really thick double coat, which is, you know, so to keep them warm and protect them against all the burrs and things, because if you go up to Scotland, you know, they're stomping through gorse and broom and all sorts of heather and pretty tough country.
Yeah, when I talk to a lot of sort of career dogs and working dog people, mm-hmm. they do tell me that the Golden Retriever is sometimes a bit more challenging than the Labrador because it sort of tends to stay younger a lot longer. It doesn't mature as quickly as the Labrador. It sort of stays as a puppy a lot longer. And when you're sort of trying to get yourself a guide dog or a working dog, you need it to sort of mature a bit earlier.
I think the difference is, because I've actually heard, it's funny, I've heard labs that are a bit slower to mature, but I think the Golden is, they're definitely probably a more sort of social, but they're also a little bit of a softer dog than a Labrador. And they do sort of stay puppyish. Yeah, they can stay puppyish and probably till about 4 or 5. They're sort of a fun breed, I think.
I guess, yeah, that's maybe that's one of the reasons, you know, the sociability, the softness. It's one of the reasons they're so enduringly popular as a family pet.
They're certainly not as not as robust as a Labrador Retriever. That's my opinion. They're more sensitive and certainly more, you know, to being told off and things like that. But they can certainly be destructive and be naughty as well. So
one of the things that did excite me, you know, I did a bit of research, Jane, you know, like I usually do, and I read that the Golden Retriever, well, we'll claim it as a Golden Retriever because I went and looked at the actual photo that was uploaded. Was the first photo uploaded on Instagram had a picture of inverted commas Golden Retriever.
Oh, okay.
That was the first ever.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, there you go.
In 2010, the co-founder. And you can go and check the photo now. The Golden Retrievers will claim it, but if I was sitting in a ring and had John Bryson's breed book here, I'd say, you know, it looks golden, but we'll take it. Anything for a...
Yeah.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. It sounds like Goldies were the first dog influencer as well. So they were setting the trend for that as well. And Jane, for any of our listeners that are, you know, thinking about getting a golden retriever or, you know, thinking about whether it's the right breed for them, you know, what kind of owners would you say a golden retriever would suit?
I actually believe that they suit pretty much anybody except somebody that works really, really long hours and is going to be leaving the dog alone all day. They're just not a breed for that. So they're obviously very well known for being a family dog. And majority of my own dogs would be sold into families. But they're great for quite a few young couples love them as well. They often get them, you know, get their fur baby before they get their human baby. And I mean, I must admit, we started with our golden before we had children. So, but the biggest thing with golden retrievers is they're not a breed, they're a social breed. They don't cope with being left on their own. So if you are someone that works long hours, they're not the breed for you, unless you're, you know, going to get someone to come in and walk them or put them in daycare or something like that.
Those are some really good points as well. Like the, you know, they have, you know, inside dogs that I think, yeah, people sometimes have that misconception. Oh, it's a big dog, so it's got to be outside. But this is, you know, a dog that, yeah, it'd be cruel to keep such a social, you know, beautiful dog outside away from people.
It's also the bonding and the training. I mean, you can't toilet train a dog, obviously, if it's just outside. It's never going to be toilet trained. So if there is a time when it had to be inside, that's going to be a problem. But also the bond, you know, I honestly don't, if people just have dogs outside, I don't understand why they have them in a lot of cases, to be honest.
That sort of happened maybe in the 70s and 80s, which was different. But today, you know, the socialisation and dogs inside is just, unless you're rural or you're using them for some working ability, then that's different. Mm. You know, they're a social animal.
They are a big dog. You know, I mean, the males can be up to 40 kilos, so that they're a big dog. They take up a bit of room in the house. And they do lose a lot of coat. So you have to be prepared to either take them to a groomer regularly just to get them stripped out. Well, not stripped out, but just regularly brushed and bathed, or be prepared to, you know, groom them every week yourself, which is not really hard.
No, it's a good point. And I guess, you know, we've got this podcast. We've got probably a lot of people that are thinking about golden retrievers or are interested in the breed might be listening to this as well. And, you know, you said you do get a lot of questions constantly in that Facebook group as well. So, you know, if are there any, you know, questions that you want to answer to all of the listeners that might be, you know, thinking about getting a Goldie, you know, are there messages that you want to get out to them?
One of the things I will bring up, because it's probably the most common question that comes up on that group, is about puppy biting and mouthing. Golden retriever puppies can turn into piranhas, and they are a very mouthy breed. So when you get a puppy, you really need to understand that they do go through a bitey, mouthy phase. It's normal. This question just comes up all the time. You know, my puppy's biting me, it's attacking me. Goldens are, because they're a gun dog, they're a mouthy breed. And the puppies, as I said, they can get quite full on. So it's really important that you have plenty of toys and things, you have even a tug toy, and that you do some training. Really important that you do training with your puppy. Go to puppy school, and then continue with training afterwards, because they all do it. It's totally normal, and it can be painful. You can actually, you know, small children particularly can get quite scared. So which is why we recommend, you know, always use a crate and a baby pen, and use baby gates, you know, to have defined areas for your puppy. And, you know, just keep calm. They'll get over it fairly quickly, but it's something they all do.
And it's just, I guess, them, you know, the start of their retrieving journey is that sort of mouthing and, you know, getting sort of feeling for that. I mean, Jay, before you go, you have to tell us, what's the funniest thing that a Goldie has ever brought you, has ever retrieved for you?
Oh, I've had all sorts of things. I mean, I've had dead birds and all sorts of things. So, yeah, I had a puppy that would just pick up everything when you're going, you know, for a walk. He'd just pick up beer cans, anything, you know, that he could carry and just have to carry something around. So that's what they're like.
And Jane, of course, just before we go, I think, you know, health is such an important issue. We always talk about it on the podcast and obviously with George here as well. You know, for potential puppy buyers, again, that are thinking about getting a golden retriever, what are some of those common health issues or concerns that, that owners should be aware of or they should be, you know, thinking about with their golden retriever as well?
I'm an ANKC breeder. So being part of the ANKC, we have to health test our dogs before we breed with them. So we do hip and elbow x-rays, which is done by our vet, and then they're sent away to be scored. And we also do an annual eye test by a veterinary ophthalmologist. And we also have a heart test. So that's done by a cardiologist, a veterinary cardiologist. The majority of us now do DNA testing, which is obviously your area, George, do DNA testing as well. So on the DNA testing, I just want to say that it's of no benefit unless both parents are tested. So you need to do both parents. And obviously you need to understand a little bit about DNA as well. It's no point just saying that DNA tested and it's all good. As long as people doing the test actually understand, you know, the reason why we're doing it. Yeah. But I think the thing is people also need to understand that DNA doesn't cover hearts. And it doesn't cover hips and elbows. So we still need to do those tests. It's really, really important.
It's important that you have to do parents, look at your grandparents, even look at great-grandparents for those, because they're not just simple recessive diseases. They're very
common. No, they're not.
So look for a breeder that's been doing it consistently and throughout their pedigree. And you're right, you know, these sort of complex diseases are where, you know, people think, oh, you just do a genetic screening, your dog's healthy. No, and unfortunately, sometimes you can do every screening and you still can't guarantee a puppy's going to be. There can be environmental,
that's true.
Be nutritional things. You try and work with a breeder that's been doing it for a while and has data to support their pedigree and what they've been testing. So you're right, there's more to it than just genetic testing. There's,
unfortunately, the most common eye condition that we see in the breed, which is cataracts, there's no DNA test for that, unfortunately. So we wish there was, but there's not. So that's picked up by an ophthalmologist as well as entropion and also another condition, retinal dysplasia, which again, no DNA test for that. No. And unfortunately, so, yeah, we see a bit of that.
We have them, but they're not specific to the breed.
No.
We have a retinal dysplasia. We have a hereditary cataract, and some people just don't get it. You know, they think, oh, screen it. No, you can't. It's only specific for those breeds.
Oh, we'd love it for the golden retriever, don't.
Well, Jane, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great episode. We've learned a lot about the golden retriever. And for anyone who wants to learn a little bit more about Jane, you can contact her at Kamuka, CAMUKA.com. And you can also order the Golden Retriever puppy book that we talked about from that website as well. But thank you again, Jane, for joining us. Thank you, George. And to all of our listeners, we'll see you again next week.